Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And a really important subject that we want to talk about today. On the heels of the Neverland special.
Leaving Neverland.
It was on HBO. Part one and part two and then Oprah's part. And we have the founders of PAXA, Parents Against Child Abuse, Tanya and David Haig. Thank you for coming up today.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.
Was telling you off the air, we've been discussing this Michael Jackson thing. I don't know what the ratings were, but I think a lot of people tuned into it. Part one, I got to be honest with you, I was iffy about the victims, and I felt guilty about feeling that way. But I didn't have any evidence. It was their word against his word. Part two, I believed the victims 100%, and then it took Oprah to even make me understand more. I mean, we think of child abuse as brutality and terrible things that are happening. You know, Michael Jackson seemed to do it in a loving way. I'm not saying it's right, but it changed my view. Then I realized, boy, these boys were just completely taken advantage of, and it's disgusting. But it took Oprah to help me understand some of this stuff. Now, this is unfortunately a pretty common problem.
Yes, so
I'm so naive to all this.
Right, so like we were talking off the air, unless you yourself have been a survivor or have someone close in your circle to have a little bit of insight of what happens or what kind of sexual abuse, what it looks like, it comes in different shapes and forms, and there's so much manipulation that these predators are doing to our children, starting as little as how whatever age they're attracted to, zero, but once they become verbal, all the way up to age 17. And it's so nuanced depending on the age, but it is the way these survivors were able to articulate and help us, the viewers, understand like all the things that Michael Jackson would do. That is grooming. Those are grooming tactics. And it's a word that
I didn't even know what grooming meant till Oprah explained it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so this is one of the things that's really important to take note of. Oprah made it pretty clear that it's not just pushing someone up against the wall and sexually assaulting them. It's creating an environment where the predator is able to kind of bring the victim into the abuse and make them feel like they're part of it. And they do this, like in the documentary, by providing gifts, by grooming family members and even other children that they might not have molested. They do this to build credibility in the event that accusations come up in the future. And that blame sharing with the victims, that we're in this together, we're showing our love in this way, we have to keep this secret, is really a way for the predator to move and shift the blame onto the victims.
Ugh. He's molesting them not just physically, but mentally at almost the exact same time, isn't he?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
They go hand in hand.
Yeah,
100%. Yeah. They go hand in hand. So in order for a little kid to kind of go with the flow, if you will, the grown-up is really in charge of that whole process. It's not like the kid's like, yeah, I'm all in on this, I'm so curious.
Yeah.
No, they are saying like, this is a game, like all these things, like, oh, we're just cozying up, or I love you so much, this is this bond. So Michael Jackson's a great example, but normal, average people are doing the same tactics.
And okay? It's mainly people you know?
Yes!
And that's exactly it. That's the biggest problem with this epidemic. Oftentimes, the vast majority of times, it's someone that the child knows.
I think 90%.
Yes.
Yeah, most parents are very good at the stranger danger component of protecting children. Most parents, when they're at a park, watch out for the scary man in the trench coat. And that's good. But what they're not willing to do is take that same level of scrutiny and apply it to people that they care about, or family members, or people in their church or synagogue. And so that's really what we're trying to do at PAXA. We're trying to say, hey, parents, you're the last line of defense for your children.
First, and first and last line of defense. Yeah.
Which, like, these victims' parents seem to have dropped the ball, but it was all part. I mean, I was mad at them, and even the victims are having a tough time forgiving them. They're on the path to doing that. But as a parent, you think, I would never do this, but they were bamboozled too.
Great word. We often use the word bamboozled because, you know, these were middle class families, huge opportunity. It's a superstar, like top global stardom, and they're being plucked from the crowd, if you will, to say, oh, you're so special, let me give you this life. So part of the grooming process is to win over mom, maybe isolate dad, or whatever that barrier might be. Again, Michael Jackson did it easily because he was very wealthy and successful.
Right.
But it can come in different forms, too, to manipulate the situation, where it could be like a coach of a soccer team, and he's like really cozying up with mom, and he's like kind of saying, like, oh, like kind of alienating some other family members to be like, you don't, it's to start bringing this bad vibe.
Right.
But it's all that formula, whether you're Michael Jackson or that coach of a soccer team, you know?
Or that dude in Abducted in Plain Sight on Netflix. It's the same kind of thing, the whole grooming where you get the whole family into it.
Dan Reed, the documentarian who made this film about Neverland, stressed yesterday in the segment with Oprah Winfrey that even though it was about Michael Jackson, it wasn't really about Michael Jackson. It was about people who are predators like this. Speak to that a little bit. What were your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I think, you know, from the PAXA parent perspective, we look at it and we say, regardless of whether this man is a superstar or not, he exhibited many red flags that parents need to watch out for, to what Tanya alluded to earlier, for anyone in their child's lives. You need to take into consideration as a parent that these types of folks need access to children, and you have to just understand that in this world there are people that view your child in a sexual manner. And it's just something that you're going to have to understand as a parent and know that going forward, so that you can be there to be an advocate, to be an advocate for your child.
So we love to say that PAXA parents pay attention. So we're so busy as parents, career couples, you name it, single moms can be very vulnerable to this because they need all the help they can get. And in swoop in people who just want to be able to help you and lend a hand. Oh, thank you so much. But the reality it is that, you know, it's happening day in and day out. And we're not really, really asking questions like, how did that sleepover go? You know, at Aunt Linda's house or whomever, like, who slept in your bedroom? Because a lot of these things, they're sneaky, you guys.
Right.
They are sneaky. They're sneaking in that bedroom. It's the teenage son, because 35 to 40% of sex abuse is kids doing it to other kids. So it is not just the grown-ups you're watching for. It's like those big age discrepancies. And they're sneaking into the bathroom and pulling a little girl in. You want to know why we have so many examples? It's since we launched our charity in 2017, we have so many friends and family members and extensions of friends who've told us their personal stories. So we have examples, not because it's easy to Google. You just talk to victims, and just like how these victims did that on the documentary, the Michael Jackson documentary, the details are important to know, because you're like, well, where is this happening? It's someone's, you know, older cousin bringing in the little girl into the bathroom saying, pull down your pants, bend over. Like, it's just like in a split second.
And Oprah pointed out, too, you know, the mom went to approach the theater and the door was locked. And Michael said, sorry, I didn't know the door was locked. And they were fully closed.
Oh, yeah.
So you don't think anything. Oh, well, they're closed. There's nothing going on. But something can still be going on over the clothes.
Yeah, I think that just goes back to red flags. Anytime a grown man is locked in a bedroom or sleeping in a bedroom with children,
that's not normal. That is not normal.
Why did the mom let they were at a hotel, and I can't remember which victim it was, but the mom said, you know, all right, you can sleep in Michael's room. Your sister and I'll sleep in this room. At 7 years old, how does that was Wade?
Yeah.
How does a mom say, "Yeah, go ahead, you're seven. Go ahead and spend the night with"? How?
I think it goes back to the grooming component, and when you think of the way that, you know, high-profile predators in particular are able to groom families, this is really where they're able to convince moms to do things that they wouldn't ordinarily do.
Sure.
And they do that by encouraging the child to beg their mother.
Mm-hmm.
They do that by all sorts of tricks in order to get isolation and alone time with the child.
Well, in this case, there was a clear-cut example of they had stars in their eyes. That was Michael Jackson, the most famous guy in the world. But in everyday life, that's not always the case. The stars in your eyes doesn't apply to somebody's uncle or somebody's coach, right?
Right.
And I think that's where you can look for red flags. And red flags are when someone might single out maybe a coach or a Sunday school teacher, or someone who has access to children might single out one for special praise, special attention, special gifts, might tell that parent that their child is so special and wonderful, might offer to do extracurricular activities in a alone setting with that child because they just care so much for that child. They want to take the kid out for ice cream.
Yeah.
Then what they do is they layer on the secrets component, because there's a lot of secrecy that goes into this. And what they'll do is they'll weave in small secrets at first. Don't tell your mom, I'm getting you two scoops of ice cream instead of one.
Mm-hmm.
And they set the stage for a situation where they're able to make larger and larger secrets, and that's where they delve into the sexual activity.
We have to take a quick break. This is fascinating. Tanya and David Haig, founders of Paxa. You can go to paxa.com. Because that's phonetically.
Paxa.online.
Paxa.online. Parents Against Child Abuse. It's Bill and Wendy. We'll continue next. 720 WGN. In the studio with us right now, Tanya and David Haig, founders of Parents Against Child Sex Abuse. And the acronym for that is PAXA, PAXA.online. That's where you can go find them. I do see that you were approached by HBO's The Tale to help support your grassroots efforts, and there's a special screening at the Gene Siskel Film Center Saturday, April 27th. First of all, what is The Tale?
Right. So last year, so HBO has just been bold, right? Last year, last spring, HBO released a film called The Tale. Laura Dern is the lead actress, and it's written and directed by Jennifer Fox, and it's based on her story of having been sexually abused as an early teen, preteen. So it's heartbreaking. And when we watched it, we believed that this was prior to the Leaving Neverland, that we believed that it was the first film we've ever actually seen really break down the predatory behavior. This was a little girl. She was in like horseback riding camp. Her running coach, like all the tactics. There was a woman involved who was like bringing in these kids into this web of abuse. It is complicated, you guys. So we watched it. They approached us because it did so well at Sundance Film Festival, and then HBO picked it up, that they were reaching out to other nonprofits, including ourselves, to help them get the word out and screen the film.
Yeah. And parents need to see this.
And parents need to see it because, again, you know, we can talk about it. We can have blog posts. We can have awesome content that we produce through our annual Parent Empowerment Program. We have speakers that come in. But it's kind of like multimedia helps parents understand it, and they'll resonate and connect with something. And this film really does a nice job and break, it's hard to watch.
Yeah.
But it breaks down these like tactics and what they're doing, and like the graphic nature of the abuse is important to see. Kind of like some folks, what happened and what was shared on Leaving Neverland was like too much for folks. Well, guess what? Those gory details need to be here because that's what's happening.
Sure.
It's not just, you know. So anyway, April 27th. We're hosting at Gene Siskel. We're also hosting a screening on April 7th in Oak Park at the Oak Park Main Library, but we're using it as another way to connect with parents on the subject.
We only have a very short amount of time, but I'm curious about this. The cycle of child sex abuse, which is to say somebody that was a victim and then later turning on later in life and becoming the abuser themselves. During the R. Kelly, the surviving R. Kelly documentary from last month, somebody said that he was abused as a child, so his way of reconciling that is to become the abuser, to take control of the situation. Is that true? Is that how it usually
Jackson,
works?
Michael Jackson, I believe, was abused too.
From a physical standpoint,
yes,
from his
definitely.
Dad.
Yeah.
I think one of the problems is drawing a direct line from being sexually abused to abusing children, and that's actually something that predators like to trot out once they're caught. They like to point
back
as an excuse for why they're doing what they're doing. To be clear, that in the type of households that have sexual fluidity between generations, where maybe there's an older teenage boy sexually abusing an eight-year-old, where there's a mom sexually abusing a son or a daughter, typically it's a male figure. It's either a father figure or an uncle, or it could be a stepfather, boyfriend. In these situations, a lot of the sexual abuse that occurs with children, many of them grow up and they don't sexually abuse children. They're victims and they keep it quiet and they suffer, like we saw in the documentary, as adults with their relationships with adults, as adults. One of the things that can happen is if you're in an environment where it's deemed to be okay, and it's something that the child enjoyed. Oftentimes, there are some environmental factors that can contribute to a situation where someone's more likely to become a predator themselves. But we are very cautious around this, and we try to give we try to make sure that we don't silence victims for fear that people are going to label them as molesters themselves when they grow older.
We need to talk to our kids about this. I have a lot to learn about this, too. All the information can be found at PAXA, PAXA.online, Parents Against Child Sex Abuse. And your screenings and all that information can be found on your website.
Yes, please. We're also trying to grow our Facebook following. So our handle is at PAXA Parents. We have a lot going on there, too, just to stay connected with a community of parents.
And how can we help?
Oh, my goodness. well, just continuing to promote, to have folks come to our website, keep the conversation going with Michael Jackson, R. Kelly. It's not a one and done. This is a 24/7 year-round problem. So we thank you for giving us the airtime to talk about it.
Thanks for taking on this challenge, because that's what it is, a challenge.
Yeah,
we appreciate your hard work.
Thanks, Joe and Wendy.
Founders of PAXA, Parents Against Child Sex Abuse. You can go to PAXA.online. Tanya and David Haig, thank you very much. Appreciate
it. Thank you both.
Thank you. We'll take a break, get you some news, and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.